Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
To hell and back is in the job description. Being roughed up, scuffed up, run over, kicked, thrown, dropped, dunked, and done the unthinkable is a duty we've embraced for more than 40 years. Through superior engineering and constant innovation, only Pelican has conquered the chaos a life of ambition can dish out. And we've done it to empower you.
Yak Gadget, made in America, based outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Yak Gadget offers all kinds of storage accessories, quick mount motor mounts, anchor systems, track mounted accessories, even paddles. Go to yakgadget.com and get your kayak decked out for your next trip out on the water.
The 153 Bait Company, based in Troy, Ohio, make everything from plastics to custom painted hard baits. Hook them hard and hook them off. All of our baits are made to order and all of our hard baits are hand painted to order. So go to the153anglers.com to place your order today.
Mindset Podcast on the Paddle and Fin Network. I'm your host, Chris Slifka. I have special guest Mark Pendergraf. Is pronounced that last name right?
Pendergraf with a D.
All right. And obviously you won one of the biggest trophies in kayak bass fishing today. It's the Bassmaster Kayak National Championship, they're calling it, right?
Yeah.
They're not calling it the
Bassmaster, Bass Nation, Kayak Show. I don't know.
It's yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. They tend to always be nowadays with all the sponsorships and everything.
Got to have that alphabet club going.
Oh, yeah. So I wanted to start the show off first with just introducing yourself. Obviously, people should know, but nowadays. But yeah, so we'll start with that and then we'll get on into it.
Okay. Mark Pendergraf, Fort Worth, Texas. It's not that easy.
All right. How long you been kayak fishing for?
We're coming up on 6 years around there. I started actually bass fishing and kayak fishing hand in hand for about 6 years now. So,
okay, all right, that's good. All right, so what I wanted to have you on here for is to talk about the mindset going into that practice. I don't know how many days did you actually – you only got 2 days of practice, right?
We got three. We got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday were practice days.
Okay. So we can start with the first day of practice.
Okay.
What was your mindset going into that day and then so on and so forth?
Got you.
Kind of.
Mindset was pretty simple. Go out and find fish. I was really not too worried about it. I don't tend to take the whole tournament scene extremely serious. I just like to fish and meet everybody and get to talk. But going into practice, Possum Kingdom has usually been a good lake for me in pre-fishing and always failed me come tournament day. So I wanted to check out areas that I don't frequent very often and check them for fish. So I started at the state park on Sunday, fished around and caught some good fish. And that's right across from Possum Hollow and Fox Hollow, which are areas that hold fish really well that I fish on a regular basis. So I wanted to check the state park because I've never been over there and ran around there. Water was real stained up, which I'm not used to on Possum Kingdom due to all the rain we've had here in Texas. So that was new. I had to adjust to that. Got rid of everything that I had tied on for clear water fishing and gone back to just my normal stuff, a little bit more chartreuse in my mix, stuff like that. Did the whole state park all day on Sunday. I started at like 9 a.m, got down there a little late. Got off the water early, about 2 o'clock, went back to the state park because I was in a tent camp for the week. Didn't have a house rented or anything, didn't plan on staying with nobody, kind of just threw it together last minute because I totally forgot about finding a place to stay. So went back, got camp set up, went out, ate dinner, went back, went to sleep, and then Monday morning woke up to the awesome storm that rolled through.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, it was nuts. It flipped my canopy that I had set up, that I had all my stuff under. It flipped it on top of my tent, mangled the canopy, ripped a giant hole in my tent, so I was getting rained on. Grabbed all my clothes and electrical stuff, ran to the truck, and waited out the storm in there. And once the storm quit, I saw some kayakers on the water. I went and checked all my stuff, realized there was no saving it. Jumped on Airbnb, found a house, and I messaged the guy. I was like, hey, man, I'm about to rent your house. Is there any way I can get in there like right now and not wait till 4 o'clock? I was like, I've got to unload all my stuff, got to move it all. And he was real cool, let me do it. So I got over to my Airbnb, dumped all my stuff as quick as I could. And I got on the water about, I want to say 11:30. I went over to where I ended up fishing the tournament at, it's about mid lake. It's called the Bluffs, and, went in there, launched, I have a couple good points that I can fish in there, and there's some really good bluff walls with a lot of chunk rock under it. So you can usually pick them up pretty easy in there, and I found some good fish. Wasn't 100% sold on that spot. Just, it was not very constant in the bite, not very consecutive. It was bite here, bite another 200 yards down the bank, maybe something like that. So it was real frustrating after the morning that I had that it didn't produce like something I would think that it would. So okay. I loaded up and ended up going to another marina, and it looked like the entire tournament field was there. Ran into my buddy, Joshua Evans. We went and piddled around for a little bit and then headed back in, and then went to eat and have some drinks and everything. So once again, just keeping my mind off of fishing as much as possible. Wasn't real sold on the lake at this point. I was just hoping for a top 30 finish. Wasn't really hyped about it. Just, it was normal fishing. I didn't find anything that I was like, yeah, I'm about to win this tournament. So, day three of practice, woke up a little late, got out on the water. I had one more spot that I wanted to go check. And ended up going to that same arena where almost the entire field was the day before, and there's another 50 trucks there. And I walked there and went straight across the lake. There's some shallower boathouses over there, and they hold fish pretty well. But the mudline crept into those boathouses, and I had done some flipping in there throughout the day, and I just didn't really pick up anything. I think I caught one bass and six goo, black drums. Sounds like somebody's murdering my child out there.
Big you're fine. You're fine. I know how that goes.
But did that, and it was unproductive. So I wasn't really excited about the tournament.
I heard you say it in the other interviews. You weren't expecting the outcome, kind of.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I knew I might have enough fish in a couple different spots that I could string together at least the top 30 finish and cash a check. And
yeah,
that was my mindset going into the top 30. Woo! So that was it. It wasn't anything particular. So
did that mud kind of really mess the lake up? Like I wasn't down there at all. I know of what I've seen.
Yeah.
Versus kind of so, is that normally a clear lake, or
it is? It's usually a gin clear lake with stained areas that you can go to get away from the clear water. Whereas this time it was muddy, and you were searching for cleaner water, which was really weird.
So kind of the exact opposite of what you're used to on that lake.
For that lake, I don't like clear water anyway, so the area I typically fish are out on the main channel of the lake, where it's a little bit dirtier out there because it clears up into the coves and everything gets real clear back in there. And I just don't like fishing like that. You got to be finessed. You got to make huge long casts, stuff like that. And I like to get right up next to stuff and fish it.
Yeah, so, kind of the same way.
Yeah, and so I was really disheartened when the lake was muddy. It really threw me for a loop. And usually on this lake, when it really does get dirty, the fish kind of lock down. They don't really do much. That was in the past, though, we found out. But I didn't have a lot of hope for the tournament. And so that's about how I went into it going, I got to make the trip, got to see some good buddies, and we'll fish for 2 days and see what happens. So that was practice. It wasn't anything special.
So waking up day one, did you kind of have a place you went to, or?
Yeah.
Was it?
I knew, the most quality fish I found was in the bluffs in Hell's Gate. That was where I was going to go. I had pretty much decided that, when I saw the entire field at the other ramps. So, when I see more than 20 trucks of competitors at one ramp, I tend not to want to go fish there. And the area that I at the bluffs, there's a $25 ramp fee there, so a lot of people won't go fishing because they don't want to pay $25 to launch a kayak. Whereas I don't care, because that marina during the summer when they're open, they've got pizza and Red Bulls. And I mean, I knew I could go there and go fish, come back, grab some food, go back out, and that was important to me.
But it's always nice to have the food by the water.
It is. And the girls that work that marina are super sweet. So it's the Bluffs Marina on Possum Kingdom. It's right over there in the Sportsman area. So, But day one, I knew I was going to the Bluffs. We were out the night before, and I don't think I got back to the cabin until about 12:30.
Sounds typical.
Yeah, that's my normal tournament schedule. It seems like did that and woke up about 4 o'clock. Got everything ready. Got to the ramp, and there wasn't really. I think there was 5 other guys at the ramp. And I was like, well, I found them on bluff walls on that chunk rock. I was like, I'm just gonna run around and throw a crankbait all day. I mean, that's about all I can do. And I had a good point that I had caught some fish topwater that were chasing shad there, and I hit that. That was my starting point. First thing, I was like, man, they're gonna be here. They're gonna be shoving these bait up on this shallow point. And I was super excited, like, man, I'm going to get to throw my walking baits. I love throwing them, love catching fish on them. And 6 o'clock hit, I started casting. It was still pretty dark, so I couldn't see water clarity or anything like that. I fished there for about 30, 40 minutes. I had a couple misses, and I think they were more sand bass and striper than bass. And when the sun finally came up, I could see the water. I had noticed that it completely had changed. It was a stained color 2 days before that, to where it was muddy now. So I was like, well, there pretty much goes my topwater shad bite that I was after. So I burned off that point and ran down to Hell's Gate. And there's some good bluff walls in there that hold fish no matter what time of year it is. Got after it with the crankbait. So from about 7:30 to 12:30, I ran around those bluff walls. I had 4 little fish. I think my biggest one was 17 and a quarter, a 12, 13, and a 14. 12:30 rolls around. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. There's no way I'm going to win. There's no way I'm placing top 30 with these fish. So I was pretty much defeated at that point. So I was like, I'm just going to head back to the ramp, and I'll just fish around there until it lines out. So I made my little 15-minute trek back to the ramp, 15, 20 minutes from ramp to Hell's Gate, Hell's Gate to the ramp. I got over to the ramp, and I was going to fish this bluff wall, which in all my pictures, you'll see the bluff wall behind me. And I was going to fish that, but Justin Faircloth was in there, and he was fishing on it. So I was like, oh, let's go over here. And I saw the ramp, and there was like no one around. There's just fish popping on it. And I was like,
the 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
I'm going to go over here and cast. So I ran over there, and I think I had 5 XD tied on and made the cast. And I'm not a deep cranker by any means. I was actually using one of my flip rods. I'll throw some square bills anyway.
Yeah.
I have all my rods are in the truck from the tournament yesterday. Yeah. I had my ALX Icos Thunder, and it's one of my flipping rods that I'll use for matted vegetation and stuff.
Yeah.
It's an extra heavy rod. And I think it's a 7.6, 7.3 somewhere. So it's a heavier rod. And I don't have a deep cranking rod, so that's what I was using. And I mean, a 5XD is not really deep, but it's deep for me. So I was like, I need a bigger rod versus my regular cranking rod. So I grabbed that and the crankbait, and I threw it up. And the boat ramp runs from the shoreline down to about 12 to 15 feet of water. And then there's another ledge about 20 yards out in front of that boat ramp. Okay. I really got to dissect it yesterday. I went back and fished the same spot for another tournament. But I just threw it up there, bam, caught a striper right off the bat. I was like, yeah, that was awesome. It was a nice striper. I was like, hell yeah. 9-7 pound. I was like, yeah, and I held it up just like, is that a bass? And I'm like, no, it's a striper. He goes, oh. And I was like, yeah, but it was fun. So I cast it back over there and caught a sand bass. And at this point, I was like, well, I'm really not going to win. There's no better way to spend the last 30 minutes of a tournament than just catching fish.
Yeah.
So I was like, if these fish are stacked on here and I can sit here and catch sand bass and striper for the next 30 minutes, fine. Let's do it. And I legitimately made a bad cast. Like I said, I had given up all hope of this tournament.
Yeah. So.
And I made a bad cast, and it went off to the left of the boat ramp, and I was trying to hit dead center. And boom, caught it like a 19-inch bass. And I was like, okay. So I took a picture of it, cast it back over there, caught a sand bass, and cast it back, 20 and a half inch bass. I was like, all right, all right. And I had in my head, I'm like, if I could just get a 20-inch bass, that'd put me at 77 inches. That would put me where I could finish top 30. I just need one 20-incher. Well, the 19 culled out or finished the limit. The 20-incher culled out my smallest fish. I was like, well, shit, let's keep going. And this is all 7 to 8 minutes. Like, I'd say about 7 to 10 minutes that this is all transpired. So by that time, Justin had came across because I was making all hell of noise, pooping and hollering. I was like, yeah. And made another cast. Another 19-incher, made another cast, another 20 and a half, made some more casts, some sand bass. And on that second 20 and a half that I caught, Justin was right. No, he was a little bit further away. And I was like, hey, you got a net?
Yeah.
I have one. I left mine in the truck. So he threw me his net so I could boat that fish because it only had one hook in it. And that's a cool thing about kayak fishing is people are real helpful on the water when you need it.
Yeah.
And they'll cheer you on even if they're fishing against you. So it was really neat having him there because he was pumping me up the whole time. Finished out the tournament. I pulled in another 18 something, and I got its picture taken right at the 2 o'clock cutoff time. And it set me up to have 99 inches. So I started submitting fish, went over and sat on the boat ramp, went inside, got the Wi-Fi because my phone was running slow. Girls gave me the Wi-Fi and I started uploading fish, and lo and behold, one of my 20 and a half inchers on the iPhone 11, if you hold the camera button a little too long, it doesn't take 1,000 pictures like the old iPhones. It takes a video.
Yeah.
I did that 4 times in a row. So I couldn't submit a video. I called Dwayne and Patrick, and they're like, shoot us an email. So I shot them an email and everything. They're like, hey, there's no way we can take something out of this video and it'll attach the location and timestamp to it. I was like, okay, I mean, it is what it is. I screwed up. I didn't take the picture. I ain't mad at you. I was like, that sucks. But it took me from 99 inches to 97, so I wasn't too upset about it. Had no idea where I was landing in the field as I was uploading fish. And got everything uploaded. And started to put all my stuff up, talking with Justin, and the leaderboard was still on, and I noticed that I had moved all the way up to fourth place. So, I was like, well, that's a turn of events right there. So, yeah. I mean, getting off the water, then I was extremely hyped. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm in fourth place in the Bassmaster. I mean,
yeah,
you got to be here. 30 minutes ago, I thought I was about to pack up and go home. Uh-huh. So, that was definitely a change of direction for me. So, I mean, it shows that you're never out when you think you are. You just got to keep fishing.
You just got to keep casting, basically. Yeah.
So, that was fun.
Then I heard, on the podcast, you saying that night you purposely went out and did stuff. You went out to the bar and everything, trying to keep your mind off of the tournament.
Yeah, so, but, I mean... I mean, and that's the way I am. Like I said, I don't take this whole tournament scene extremely seriously. There's a lot of people that do, and I don't hate them for it. I don't live, eat, and breathe kayak fishing.
Yeah.
I've got my son in premier baseball. My wife works full time. We've got the little one. And I've got 1,000 other things going on that I'm not dedicated to map research and all that. And also, I've never considered myself an extremely professional angler anyways.
I mean, I would start.
I'm going to do me. I'm gonna live it the way I have, not really anything.
Well, you have to. You can't change anything. You know, you got the trophy.
Yeah. I'm the champ, so my way worked.
Yep.
But, that night we went out. My wife had called and told me that I needed to take my ass home. Oops, sorry. But yeah, she told me, you need to go home. You need to get rest. I'm like, no, this is what I do. It's my tradition. It's how I fish tournaments. And yeah, we ended up, the bar we had been going to, their AC went out the night before while we were there. We ended up drinking in their ice box because it was so freaking hot in that place. We had to go cool off. Ryan had gone back and he called me and goes, hey man, AC's off. We're going to this other place. I was like, cool, I'll meet you there. And it was the PK Sports Lounge or something, sports bar. But we went in there. I ended up signing me and Ryan up for a pool tournament. We thought we were playing partners. Turns out we were playing singles, and he ended up almost winning the thing. It was hilarious. But the cool thing was we had gone to the bars and were like, hey, you know, y'all don't got cornhole boards. And that's what we do. We sit around, drink, play cornhole. And can we bring our own boards in? We actually have them in the bed of the truck. And our boy Dylan had them in there. And they're like, yeah, you can go ahead and bring them in. Where are you going to set them up? And we kind of told them. And that's not where we put them. We went in and moved their tables out of the way and ran them. So we sat there and played cornhole and pool all night. Locals got in on it. It was a good time. I think I got back to the cabin at like 1. And then I think I woke up at like 4:30 the next morning.
Yeah.
Which gave me just enough time to get to the boat ramp before launch.
Okay.
So that was fun. Got to the boat ramp. Totally forgot my Red Bulls.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, I had my jug of water. I went in, I loaded up all my stuff because I had to empty out my house that morning too that I was staying in because I'd only rented it to that day.
Yeah.
And I had to throw all my shit in my truck that morning. So fast and furious, throwing everything in there. I just didn't grab my Red Bulls out of the fridge before I left the house. I did fill up my water jug, so I was proud about that.
That's good, though.
Got there, got everything unloaded, made sure I had my net this time. Justin was there again. Dylan Lyons was there. Daniel Lyons, sorry. There's a couple other people. And Daniel had actually caught a fish off the boat ramp the day before, but he was packed up and headed out at noon to another launch. And I was like, well, shit, he might be wanting to fish the boat ramp, not knowing what I did here yesterday afternoon. And I had made up my mind. I was like, I am fishing this boat ramp and the surrounding part of this marina right here because it's, for some reason, it's holding fish. So we're all sitting there before first first launched our kayaks, we had cleared off the boat ramp just in case boats came down because it's a one lane boat ramp. And we're all sitting there. I was like, hey, man, you know, I don't want to be rude. I was like, I know you caught a fish here yesterday. And I just want to let you know, I don't plan on leaving the boat ramp. He goes, oh, you're fine, man. I'm going to head out. And I mean, he did great out there on the water, finished in the top 10. So huge shout out to Daniel. But I sat on that boat ramp all day. I think my first fish was like between 2 and 4 cast in the morning. I think I registered them at like 6:07, 24-inch 9-pounder. So as soon as I caught that fish, man, like I started shaking. I was like, oh my God, my day is about to be phenomenal. Like, this is my first fish. This is the biggest fish I've seen on this lake. Which is, no, I take that back. I've caught a 20-and-a-quarter, but it was real sickly.
Yeah.
At another tournament like 2 years ago. But I was like, this fish was big and healthy. And I was like, oh my God, my day, this, I was like, this is how my day is going to go. And then I caught like a 22 right after that. And I was just like, I was still shaking. I was just sweating mainly because, you know, we'd been out every night of the tournament. And I think that had a lot to do. I was just pouring out sweat. And then I caught some 17s. The camera boat had showed up. They were there. I was talking with them. And I caught some 17s and like an 18. And then I caught a 19, a 20, a 23. Well, no. Yeah, the 23. So I had the 24, the 23. No, I had a 21 and 2 19s. And I was like, I don't know what else I'm going to do. And I was like, it's an hour and a half into this tournament, and I've already broke 100 inches. Like, what do I do with my time now? Like, so I sat on there, and I'd let it rest for a minute. And, you know, people were messaging me like, oh, my God, you're killing it, dude. Keep grinding. And they're like, keep going, keep fishing. I'm like, well, yeah, I got, like, 9 hours left in this tournament. Like, so I kept fishing. Camera boat left, the Old Town crew showed up, they were there to do pictures and all that. And I just kept fishing, and I ended up catching another 21 or 22, and I culled out one of my 19s. And then somebody, my friend, started messaging, and they were like, yeah, get rid of that last 19, woo! And I let the boat ramp rest a little bit. I went and piddled around, went all the way to the end of the marina. They have like a 6-mile long, it seems like, thing of boat slips just in a straight line right down the bank. And when you get to the end, you can go back in there behind them, and there's a good ledge back in there that has a lot of timber on it. Went in there and made some casts, lost a crankbait. And I was like, no, I'm good. I'm going to go back to the boat ramp. Went back, and I caught another 20 or a 21. I don't exactly remember, but I culled out my last 19, and I was like, okay. So I was like, sweet. And at that point, I was like, you know, I honestly feel like I won this tournament. Like, at that point, I didn't know what to do. I've never been in that situation. I didn't know how to feel. I just didn't know what to do. And I continued to fish the boat ramp the entire day. I'd leave and go hit the bluff wall real quick and then come back and caught a bunch of smalls. I mean, I don't really count them small. They were 17s and 18s, but they didn't help me.
Yeah.
So I caught fish off that ramp all day. I caught sand bass and stripers too mixed in there. And it got to where I could pinpoint what kind of fish I was going to catch when I made a cast from left side of the boat ramp to the right side of the boat ramp. It seemed like they were just all staged in those three sections. So stripers to the right, sand bass all over the middle of the boat ramp, black bass to the left. And it got to where on the hook set, I pretty much know what I had coming in because the stripers would come straight up. The sand bass would run right at me. And then when I hooked a bass, it seriously felt like I was setting a hook into a bag of concrete. It didn't matter what size those bass were. It was like they were running head on towards the ramp and catching that bait. It was nuts. And it was a blast. Coming off the water at the end of the day, Justin was there. Daniel Lyons was there. We were all just tucked up under the cover of the marina and the boat slip. The Old Town people were there. The girls at the marina had given me a Red Bull and a pizza on credit because I left my wallet in the truck. And So we were sitting out there, and I was drinking my Red Bull and eating my pizza and doing an interview with Old Town. And they're like, "Do you think you won?" I was like, "I don't know, man. You know, Joe was on some really good fish yesterday, and he had fish today. Like, he hadn't slowed down." And I was like, if I did win, it's going to be close. But at the time, I honestly didn't think I won it. And it was mainly due to that 2-inch deduction from day one. I was like, at this time, I really, really need that 2 inches.
Yeah.
I would have felt safe. And I lost 2 fish that day that were just as big as the 24-incher. I didn't get by, and they were in the late afternoon. I just didn't get good hook sets in them. And it was nobody's fault but my own. My gear did exactly what it was supposed to. And I run that extra heavy. So when I crank bigger crankbaits, I usually use that heavier rod with like 15-pound fluoro P-line, the Brazex. And that's what I run on it because it helps that crankbait get a little bit down deeper and stuff and not so much stretch. But I think that actually hindered me on some of those hook sets because it allowed the fish to get away. It didn't give it enough to give. And I think I was more pulling the bait out of their mouth than I was keeping it in there. But I just didn't know coming off the water how it went, and not having awards till the next day, man. I'm going to tell you, I was a wreck.
That's going to be the next question.
Yeah.
having to wait that extra day probably was the worst.
It was. I ended up going out again that night. I made it back home.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Lambert and Dylan, not Daniel, but Dylan and Joshua Evans came down, stayed in downtown Fort Worth. Now I live right outside in North Jerusalem Hills, Halton, Watauga. I live like in 3 different cities. I don't know. My yard changes every 6 months. So cities can never make up their mind who owns this piece of property. Anyways, they came down. They're like, "Hey, man, we're going to go out to P.F. Chang's and we're going to meet some of them." And Ryan's like, "Some of my buddies are in town. And they're going to go to Billy Bob's." I said, "Cool, man. I'll meet you at P.F. Chang's. Give me just a little while." And I got home, got showered, told my mom, I was like, "Hey, I love you." Gave her a hug, kiss. She's like, "Well, did you win?" I was like, "I don't know." I was like, "I really don't. And it's really bothering me." And so I was like, but Ryan and them came down, you know, just to celebrate, you know, the great day that I had and everything. And Ryan was turning around to leave to go back to fish in Tennessee in his club because he was in the running for ALY. And he was like, "I'm going to come down. We'll party tonight, hang out, and celebrate. I mean, just great, great tournament you had." I was like, "Cool." So we went down to Billy Bob's, met up with all his buddies. My friend Albert Allegra works there, and he took us down, got us down on the table in front of the stage. We got to hang out down there. And people were like, "Hey, man, congrats on maybe a win, but great tournament." don't know. And that didn't help any. And then Ryan and Josh were over there with Joe. And they had fished with him, and they kind of knew what he had, but didn't know the exact numbers. They're like, "Dude, we don't know. We don't know where you're at. It's going to be really, really close." I was like, "Well, that sucks." Mm-hmm. Like, "You're no help to me whatsoever." So I got through the night, woke up the next day, and they're like, "I was going to go up to the expo and hang out. I had some friends that were working booths up there and everything." So I got up there about 12, walked around the expo. Everybody was like, "Hey, man, did you win? Do you know?" I was like, "I'm not going to know for another 3 hours, but thanks for asking."
Yeah.
Thanks. And so it was just, I was a nervous wreck. Emotions were all over the place. And then we get back to the boatyard on the other side of the Coliseum, and Dwayne's talking to us and everything. We load up in the Texas Toyota trucks and head over to the arena, and they drop us off back there. And we're talking with the bass people and everything. Then it sets in that Dwayne walked me out so I could see the stage and everything. And it, at that point, it really set in. It's like, "Oh my God." I was like, "I'm about to walk across the Bassmaster stage, and I know I'm either first or second." I was like that, and it all started hitting me. Yeah. I started breathing heavier, trying to just keep tears back. That, you know, I mean, this is an accomplishment that a lot of people dream of. And I mean, it's not like I was fishing the Bassmaster Classic, but I was fishing the Kayak Championship. I mean, that's a big deal.
It's one of the biggest deals in our sport as of right now.
Definitely,
that's for sure.
I mean, it now this and the TOC, they're both up there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't knock anything from TOC. That's an amazing field that they put on there. So, but I saw the Bassmaster stage and emotions started coming in. And I'm an emotional guy. That, you know, I'm usually pretty happy-go-lucky. And you don't see me cry a lot or get sad or emotional. I don't do that stuff. So, and all these new emotions are coming in, and I'm just not really knowing how to handle it. And then they walk us out. And we're standing off to the side of the stage. They're like, hey, we're going to call you up one at a time. No particular order. They call up the first couple anglers. And, of course, me and Casey Reed are like the last two that they call because of our last names being at the bottom of the alphabet. And so I'm standing there. And you know, Patrick Malone got a picture of me getting ready to walk up. And I'm just messing with my pants. I was so nervous going up there. And they had terrified me of the steps. Going up to the stage, they're like, hey, watch where you're going, use the handrail because you'll trip. And of course, you know, Dwayne goes up there, and on Dwayne's way up, he trips. So I'm terrified to walk up the stage and just, you know, face first into the floor. And I get up there and I'm standing there and I see all the kayak friends that I have down there from DFW, the Kayak Bass Nation guys, you know, just everybody, that some of the people that were at the tournament. Some of our local anglers that just came out to support me. It was really cool. I was trying not to cry, just waiting. They started at 10th, started working their way up and doing everything I could, you know, hugging everybody that got a check, shaking their hand. I'm like, yo, this is great. And I was trying to control it. And then they got to us, me and Joe, and we both got to go talk. And I went first. And I stuttered, and I sounded like a redneck. And I got to see the interview afterwards. I'm like, no. It was like me and old Robertson should be friends. But I went first, and then I had to go stand out in the front of the stage right behind the trophies while Joe talked. And then Joe got to come out, and we stood there next to each other. You know, we're like, yeah, man. And then they started announcing, and they're like, and in second place, and I knew I had 209 inches and a quarter. I mean, that was ingrained in my brain. It's still there. Can't see it, but my wife even got a little placard to put on my trophy.
It says it.
It says, Mark Pendergraft, 209 inches, highest two-day total in Tourney X history. And she got that put on there for me, but that was ingrained in my brain. I was like, so if he says anything other than that, I know I'm going to win. Anything below that, it's mine. And they called out in second place with 208, and I lost it. I had planned, like, I'm going to jump and scream, and I'm going to just do all this crazy stuff because I didn't want to cry. I didn't want anybody to see me cry. And I went just to do something with my hands and ended up just grabbing my face.
Yeah, I seen that. Came. Yeah.
So I turned away real quick. And try to suck it up, turn back around. Joe's like, give me a hug. Joe's a great hugger. Gave him a big old hug, shook his hand. I turned around. Ryan Lilly had the trophy and hugged him. And he gave me the trophy and I held it up. And man, that was it. I don't think words can explain the feeling that there is with that.
Yeah. I kind of agree with that one. It's kind of the so real moment kind of deal.
It was really surreal. Then they let Joe go and talk about his day and his trophy, or I went back over there and talked. I don't remember, but they told me he could walk back out to the front of the stage and hold up the trophy. Yeah, and I did, and I did the whole woo, held it up, and all I saw was my buddy. Guillermo Gonzalez, and Guillermo is a real professional guy. Like, when you talk to him, he's just real self-assured, and, like, he's not all over the place. And I watched him come unglued, and then I lost it again. And I saw all my other friends down there jumping and screaming. I could hear my wife from the second row of the – she was up there in the handicap section with my dad. And it was just – it was so unreal to just be able to experience that and see the passion of my friends for me at that point in my life. It was just – it was really cool.
Yeah, that – I mean, it has to be. And you, I think you held it up kind of better than probably I would up there. I watched the line. It was going to be some type of emotional win, something that of that prize.
Yeah.
But yeah, you held it up pretty good. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. And I mean, it's still cool. Being at the expo the next couple days, people, you know, wanted to talk to me. I actually got to sign autographs, which that was really
cool.
I've only done it as jokes before, and the actual people want my autographs, like those big Rapala lures. Like I signed a couple of those for some younger guys that kayak fish and, you know, they bass fish in their high schools and stuff, and that was really neat. Met a couple little kids. One kid wanted my badge that I had on me so I could get backstage and get to the parking lot with my truck. And I went to go give it to him. I was like, oh, wait, man, I got to have this so I can get back. So I was like, I'll send it to you, though. And I ended up sending that to him and his brother and a couple of fishing poles and stuff. And it was just real cool. And then especially what, you know, Joe did with the donations and everything. I mean, that was huge.
Oh, yeah.
Jay, and I actually ran into Jason Barocoff today. And, we were down in the stockyards messing around, and he walks right by, and he just moved from Cali's all. I was like, hey, you like in Texas? And he turned around, and he didn't recognize me because he hadn't seen me yet. He goes, yeah, I'm like, oh, what's up, buddy?
Yeah.
So I got to see him, and, man, he's super pumped with everything that's going on for them. So,
it's still awesome. Continued, and it's everything's awesome.
Rolling along, so.
Yeah, it has to be awesome.
It is.
I know you. I seen a couple posts where you got to go backstage and everything and talk to the pro anglers.
I did. That was cool.
Was that for all you guys, or was that for just the top 10?
Just the top 10 were able to do that. I didn't see anybody else back there. And I went in and I found a little speaker box to sit on. I was like, you know, I'm just going to sit here and take pictures of them as they roll by. And the first couple came through and I was like, hey, smile, their pictures. And they're like, and I got to talk to a couple of them and introduce myself. A couple of them had heard my name, so they knew who I was, which was really neat for me that, you know, this pro bass fisherman that I watch on TV on a regular basis knew my name. I was like, man, that's freaking sweet. Got to meet the llama himself. That was a big deal. He's one of my favorites. So, Matt Robinson, you know, autumn guy, that dude's a trip. But, I mean, they're some of the most genuine people you'll ever get to talk to. I don't think any of them are rude or standoffish. I mean, I got like 2 minutes just to talk to them before they rolled out into the arena. So, but they're extremely, extremely cordial, really nice. So hats off to those guys for just being real people and not letting fame go to their heads.
Yeah. I mean, they're normally like that always, but I mean, it seems like from not thinking you're going to even finish in the top 30 to first place. And that in and of itself is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
How all that worked out.
Man, it's definitely mind-boggling looking back at it now going, man, just to think I was getting ready just to fucking quit.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm working on cussing as much. I got to, you know, have more professional mouths. But, I was getting ready just to quit, get off the water. I didn't care anymore to, lucking into fish, finding them there. And then those fish being so daring and loving to stay there and wait for me to come back on day two. So, I mean, I wish I could say, yeah, man, I grinded, you know, I mapped it, I went out and I found my spots, and in all reality, you know, I lucked into it, and, you know, and I mean, that's a lot to do with fishing. I mean, you can map all you want and mm-hmm. you can go out. And if you spend time on the water, you put point A with point B and 1, 2, 3s, and you figure it out. You figure out the gist of fishing, and you know where you can go to typically find fish. But I want to say most of it's luck, because you're like, oh, man, this spot looks great. I'm going to go check it out. And you check it out, and there's fish there. Well, you didn't make those fish appear. Your map said he didn't make those fish congregate there. You got lucky and you found a good spot that looked good to you, and you found them.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is just, you know, sometimes it's fish in the moment too.
Yeah.
And put everything behind you. Even like you said, you don't really do map study, but even people who do map study, you know, there's times where they don't even catch fish on all the work that they did.
Yeah.
They just.
Man, I've spun out in so many tournaments. I've had a great plan going in, and it started off great, and then it shuts off, and I lose my mind, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do, and I'll just start piddling around the lake, not really fishing and doing stuff like that, which was about what was about to happen to me. And if it wasn't for that striper, I'm going to give that striper all the credit. Yeah. If it wasn't for that fish, I wouldn't have made a second cast at that boat ramp. And I probably would have aimed towards the docks or something, but that, you know, I'm going to give all the credit to that striper.
Now, you said, and I mean, it's not about the mindset part of it now, but you said that area was kind of, it had like current going through it a certain way, or?
So, yeah, I figured it out on day two after I'd already waylaid fish and didn't know why they were there. When it slowed down, and I was able to start, you know, casting here, dissecting stuff. You know, there's some logs that would pop up and travel through the marina rather, which I was like, man, that's really awkward. You know, it'd make it all the way through these boat slips and a log would appear. And then I hooked something dead middle of the boat ramp. And I had run my crankbait down this thing all day and not hung up once. And I got hung up at the bottom of the boat ramp, went over there and was able to lean over and get my arm all the way in the water and get it unhooked. And I was like, you know what?
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
And backed off and kind of went around the boat ramp. And sure enough, you could see the current up against the bluff wall on the backside of that marina. And it was pulling all that water from the creek when they opened that gate. And it was just draining right along that bluff wall, right over the top of that boat ramp, out to the main channel. And I didn't know. I thought the current was going to be on the other side against the bluff wall, which was behind me. I figured that was the main channel. And it looked like it was pulling it on my side, and that's the only thing I could figure out that held those fish there, is just they had somewhere to sit and wait for just bait fish to swim on by. But that, yeah, I mean, there was definitely current over that ramp. A lot of driftwood and stuff was coming through there. So,
okay. Yeah. It was kind of interesting to see that you just out of random found it and then made a tournament win out of it.
So, I got to go back yesterday, and I fished the same spot, same boat ramp, put up a limit early in the morning, not a huge one, 88 inches, but went out, and I was able to actually dissect the boat ramp. The water was a little bit clearer, still pretty dirty, but just more of a stain than mud, and I could see a little bit more defined shape to the boat ramp, a little bit lower in the water, and there's definitely a huge drop off on one side of it right there where they just tuck in underneath it. And it runs right into sand. So that whole shelf is just sand. I fished a little bit deeper yesterday, found out there's some grass a little bit further out from that boat ramp. Not a lot, but there's some. So it made more sense being back there this time versus just trying to, you know, hammer out fish and win a tournament.
Yeah,
I was able to dissect it a little bit more. It didn't help me as much, but
yeah.
At least I know what I know what's really there now. So, but yeah, I showed up yesterday, and the first fish was a 20-incher, and then the second one was a 21 and a quarter. So it was there's still big fish on it, but it's an amazing little boat ramp. I loved it.
Yeah, it sounds like it, man. I know because I've seen it. Now it's a couple weeks past the tournament, and people are putting out their YouTube videos, and I'm seeing there's a lot of people who struggle at that tournament.
And yeah,
to hear you say that you were struggling too, and then you just happened to find it. It's kind of ways on the just keep your head down and keep grinding it out.
Yeah,
type of deal. I mean,
definitely keep casting. I think in 6 years, I've only left, I want to say maybe 2 or 3 tournaments early due to not catching fish. I've left a couple others early due to sporting activities and stuff that we had scheduled with the kids. Yeah. But due to not catching fish and spinning out, I've only left two to three early. And I've always regretted that. I'm like, well, man, if I would have just kept fishing, I might have found them. So I've made it a point, up to fish all the way to last cast, unless, I have 112 inches and I can sit there and just bullshit with people.
Yeah.
Pretty much last 30 minutes of day two, I didn't make a cast. I just sat there and talked with everybody and had a good time. So, I've always made it a point, fish all the way to last cast. You never know what you're going to find. Being somebody, I've had my ups and downs. I've had some decent finishes, but I've had a lot of bad finishes coming into tournaments. And it's just, you've got to keep fishing. You can't let it beat you down. Momentum's a real deal in this sport. It really is. If you can build your own momentum, you're going to do good. You're going to finish where you want to be. So I just keep fishing.
Yeah. Well, we can end it on that then. That sounds good. I want to thank you first off for joining me. I know last week didn't necessarily work out for us, but
yeah,
I'm happy that I got you on this week.
And man, I appreciate you having me, dude. It's awesome being on here with you.
Yeah. Any closing? Any sponsors or anything?
I mean, of course. Old Town, it's a boat I'm in. They take really good care of me. I was actually opening some mail from them when I was sitting here with you at the beginning. Nice. They're phenomenal. The Autopilot 120, the spot lock is just an insane feature to have, especially in kayak fishing, where you always have to fight for position. I no longer have to do that, and I can actually fish thoroughly now. Then Excite Baits, they're all hung up here behind me. Makes a great soft plastic, great crankbaits. He just released his XB1DD, I think it is. I got a couple boxes of them. Yeah, it's that one right there. Nice. Little dives to about 10 feet, 10, 12 feet. I got a couple boxes of those that I've been playing with. He makes great baits. Lloyd's a great guy. I'm with ALX Rods. They make a quality product. As kayak anglers, we beat the crap out of our rods.
Absolutely.
I've been with ALX over 2 years now. None have failed on me due to regular use. I have broken two because I have a ceiling fan in my fishing room right here. And I shoved it up in there. And I had them in my hands, and I didn't have my rod covers on them or anything. And they went right through the fan. I hit them into the ceiling, and they just broke. And I was like, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
I told my buddy about it. He's like, oh, yeah, I break my stuff on the ceiling fan all the time. I'm like, that's great. But ALX rods, man, without that thunder, I don't think I would have caught the fish that I did. So it had enough give in it to keep them on there and enough backbone to make sure I got a good hook set. So it was give props to them. And then Lou's for making awesome reels. The reel I ended up having to use on day two, was a little 99 Lose Pro series, you know, just a basic one, little $99 reel that I've had for like 5 years. I bird nested my custom that I use for cranking on like earlier in the morning. And it was bird nested to where there was no saving it. So I had to cut off a couple other reels to try them out. And that's the one that ended up being, you know, the smoothest for me to use. And man, for 5 years old, I mean, just my normal maintenance on it, dude, I put that reel through its paces, and they have a quality product that held up. So that was cool.
Yeah. No, I have a couple Lose also that I use. They are good reels.
They are. They get a lot of bad talk, but man, there's some really good stuff. Enough that I went and bought three more a couple days ago. So
yeah. Yeah, no, they're good reels. All right. Like I said, it was good having you on, and we'll close the show out here, man.
Thank you. All right, man. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Oh, mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue. Brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment.